What's going on? Happy Thursday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Wednesday night. Reds taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Game 3 of this 4-game series at Great American Ballpark. Nick Lodolo on the mound for the Reds against Spencer Turnbull for the Phillies. The Phillies got a run in the first and the third inning off Lodolo, and they took an early 2-0 lead. But in the bottom of the third, Will Benson hit his third home run of the season, solo home run to center field, and it was a 2-1 ball game. Nick Lodolo grinded through a start really without his best command, but he was somehow able to pitch into the sixth inning. Fortunately, he wasn't able to get any outs in the sixth inning, and he left two runners on base for Lucas Sims. One of those runners would come in to score. Lodolo's final line on the evening, 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. The Phillies pulled starting pitcher Spencer Turnbull after just 5 innings with only 89 pitches. He had really been pretty dominant, striking out 8 Reds, and the Phillies went to Sir Anthony Dominguez, and it was a good decision for the Reds' sake. Dominguez came in, and his command was all over the place. It was so bad that Christian Encarnacion Strand, guy that walks about 1% of his plate appearances this year, he led off with a walk. Dominguez was able to get Martini to pop out in a pretty lengthy at-bat, and then Tyler Stevenson hit a ground rule double, smoked it. Well, fortunately, would have scored CES, but obviously with the ground rule double, he had to stay at third. Then a big at-bat, Jamer Candelario, came up short. He had a really ugly at-bat, striking out on just a couple pitches, and that was out number 2. But Santiago Espinal, for a second straight night, came up with a big hit. He picked up Candelario with a single to right field, tying the game up at 3. Stuart Fairchild then walked, and then Will Benson kept his good night going. He singled to put the Reds up 4-3. Then Ellie De La Cruz piled on a little more. He hit a ground rule double of his own, and that made it 5-3 Reds. Emilio Pagan came in the 7th inning, and he didn't have it. He gave up 3 hits and a run. Pagan left Fernando Cruz in a jam with the Reds up just 1 run, 5-4, and runners on 2nd and 3rd. And Cruz, for a second straight night, got the job done. He proceeded to strike out the first batter, Edmundo Sosa, and then a long flyout by pinch hitter Brandon Marsh got the Reds out of the 7th inning with the lead. A sac fly by Santiago Espinal gave the Reds an insurance run in the 7th. Then in the 8th inning, Ellie De La Cruz singled. Ellie De La Cruz stole 2nd base. Ellie De La Cruz scored 3rd base, his 15th stolen base of the season. And then a sac fly by Spencer Steer provided the Reds with another run of insurance. And Brent Suter and Alexis Diaz each pitched scoreless innings in the 8th and 9th. Reds held on to win 7-4 over the Phillies. Reds take the season series with still 1 game left to play against the Phillies. And the Reds, now at 14-10, are off to their best start since 2006 through their first 24 games of the season. Here's what Santiago Espinal, the big hero, on Wednesday night had to say immediately after the game.
6th inning was big for you guys. 4 runs in that inning. You drive in 2. Can you take us through that at bat?
I mean, you know, I just trying to stay with my plan, you know, trying to swing early and then, you know, just go out there and compete and, you know, the results will play out by itself.
Add-on runs are so big, you got to sacrifice fly. In that situation, are you just, obviously you're looking to put the ball in play, but you are you thinking fly ball there?
You know, I'm actually trying to get barrel. I see the infield in, you know, there's anything possibility that you can get, you know, hopefully, thank God I got the barrel in and, you know, we got the run.
We talked about this a little bit before, but for this audience, you get traded over here and it's at a time that it's a tough time and you've got to adjust to a new team. But it seemed like you fit in very quickly. Where are you right now with being a Cincinnati Red?
I mean, you know, we're family here. And the first day that I got here, it felt like I've been here since day one, you know. And I appreciate the boys, I appreciate the coaches, you know, for welcoming me with open arm. And, you know, we're just ready to roll.
Very willing to play multiple positions as well, aren't you?
Of course. Anything for the team.
Yeah. This team, where would you categorize these couple of wins? Certainly team victories the last couple of nights, are they not?
Of course. You know, any win is great, you know. Bullpen, starting pitching, hitting, defense, everything has been great to us. And, you know, we just got to keep going out there and compete.
And here's Will Benson on his big home run and trusting the process after some recent struggles.
I learned from last year. It's like I can either go in a shell, be, you know, panic, or I can just take it one pitch, one game at a time, and just try to learn, you know, from the failure, from the process, and knowing that I'm a good baseball player. So regardless, like my okay day is still a pretty good day, you know, and I can still compete with the best of them. So, you know, in those struggling times, just go out there and compete and play and give it your best.
And here's Reds reliever Fernando Cruz.
I played with a lot of passion. I think that's the word that described me the most is passion for the game and passion for what I do. I think, yes, the emotion came out. I mean, it was. We're playing a really good team. The game was on the line, and I came in and did my job, and helped the team in that situation. For me, it's something that it's game changing. Like you see what happened after, we went and scored, and the game was over. So, I mean, I knew as soon as I did that, that the game was on our side already. So, I mean, yes, the emotion came out and I was really pumped up. You want those situations. Those are the ones that you want. Like, if you're a baseball player or whatever sport you play, and you don't want that situation, I think you're wrong. Like, you want those situations. And obviously, I'm embracing it. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. So it's just a blessing from above. It's something that I'm really enjoying. So it's just a blessing. I was a little in doubt because Benson was running back to the wall, but never panic. I mean, I think I thought it was catchable. It was the matter of him getting to it and catch it. So, yeah, I mean, I made a great pitch. He's a really good hitter, really professional hitter. So, I mean, we got it done. We're playing a big baseball right now. Like. I'm giving the credit to all my teammates. They come here, they prepare, they're ready for anything that we need at the moment. I mean, we're like on another level of getting ready for what it takes to win a baseball game. Don't matter who we play with or versus, we're just ready to go and take advantage of every situation that we need that it need to win the game.
And lastly, here's Reds manager David Bell.
So many plays, so many guys contributing, players, pitchers stepping up in situations. Lucas Sims in a down game, you know, early in the game. It just doesn't matter. They're ready. They're ready to do whatever we possibly can to win games. And that's a fun way to play. It's the best way to play. You know, we can get the most out of ourselves that way, but it is really enjoyable playing that way, and it's fun just watching our players play together like that.
Well, our deep drive of the game from Wednesday night was Will Benson's third inning home run. Exit velocity of 101.7, went 396 feet, and our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. The Brewers beat the Pirates 3-2. Cubs beat the Astros 4-3. And the Cardinals, they won 5-1 over the Diamondbacks. Your NL Central standings on Thursday morning. Brewers sit at 15-8, Cubs 15-9, Reds 14-10, Pirates 13-12, and the Cardinals are 11-14. And The Reds currently hold the third and final wild card spot. All right. Well, here is myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you about all the Reds minor league action and preview Thursday's game against the Phillies.
I don't know if we realize how big of a win this really is. Now, I get it. Everyone's going to tell me, oh, it's one of 162. It's just, you know, it's just one more win. We're fighting for our lives right now, Nick. We're just trying to survive in advance to the next day. And this team has found a way to win a couple of games of late that, quite honestly, I didn't expect them to win. I don't want to say I didn't expect them to win tonight, per se, but I knew what was coming tomorrow. And obviously, that's the end of the show, so we won't get into that yet. But this was massive. This is the most fun win they've had all year for me personally. Seriously, and that's not hyperbole. I am fired up right now. I'm very thankful to be a Reds fan on a night like tonight. And you know what, Nick? I hope you're feeling just like me, because that was fun. That game was fun.
Yeah, Reds won the season series against the Philadelphia Phillies.
What's that mean, Nick?
That means they have the tiebreaker, baby. They have the tiebreaker. They have the tiebreaker. You don't get many tiebreakers won in April, but we got one, baby. We got one.
That's right. Yeah.
Look, you never know. You never know if that's going to be important or not. It could. Probably won't, but hey, it's nice to have that in your back pocket. But it's nice because what was the narrative, Trace? You lose a series to the Brewers. You get swept by the Mariners. Well, you swept the White Sox. You swept the Angels. You swept the bad teams. They just won a season series against a team with a $200 million payroll, a team that's expected to compete for a World Series. This is a good team. They just went and they won the season series against.
They did. And listen, I'm well aware. I will at least admit that Bryce Harper is not around right now, and that is great. That was great timing by him, by the way. I know that you're obviously expecting relatively soon. Maybe not you per se, but your wife. And here's the thing. I'm very thankful that Bryce Harper is not around. Having said that, I don't feel bad about it one iota. There's so many things that are unbelievable to talk about tonight. I'm fired up. I really am fired up. You know why I'm fired up? Because it took everybody. It genuinely took everybody outside of Candelario, and I'm not even going to get into that night. You know why? Because I feel like anytime you bring up something negative, you could say 100 positive things about everybody else, and they're going to be like, oh, you were saying something about Candelario. Listen, when I say it took everybody, I genuinely mean that. There was every single person I could point out something that they did relatively well. And you know what I will also say? They survived in advance or persevered through two ground rule doubles. And I know people might think that, that isn't a big deal. Like, that's a little disheartening, Nick. I mean, there was two times where you were expecting to get a run scoring from first base. First, it was CES, that obviously Stevenson had one bounce over the wall. And then you had Ellie De La Cruz have one bounce over the wall with, I can't remember who was around in third, I think, as a Santiago. But anyways, point is, that's two runs that you should have had that you didn't get it. Vincent. So, I'm fired up. Brent Suter, I'm going to be like literally helter-skelter all over here. And I will say this. Santiago, Espinal, this one's for you, brother. This one's for you. Sometimes in life, you realize you make mistakes. And I'm going to give everybody a little bit of a life lesson right now. You just say you're sorry. You say you're sorry. You look them right in the face and you say, I made a mistake. I wasn't familiar with your game. Okay? I seen you were an all-star 2 years ago. Yeah. I've seen your OPS plus. I've been looking at your baseball reference page. Okay. I seen it. You're right around 100. You're right around 100. You've only been over it a couple times, but you know what? I seen it. It was sitting at 49 when you were playing for my favorite team. Okay? And 49 isn't very good, if we're being honest. But I do know. I listened to Nick a little bit. Nick didn't help because essentially I blame Nick a little bit because last year he was telling me the same thing about Will Myers and that didn't pan out for me. But you know what? You're different. I'm going to come back around. Next time Nick tells me to wait, it's just April, I'm going to be patient again. I'm going to come back and I'm going to settle down and I'm going to give you a fair chance because so far over the last, well, two nights, if we're being honest, I won't say a week, but two nights, you've done a lot of good things. And there's only one way that I know how to show respect. This one's for you, Santiago. This is for you, your family, your kids, if you have them. I don't know, but I do know this. You've made me proud the last two nights. And I'm happy to be wrong, by the way. I'm a Reds fan first. I'd love to be wrong about all the guys that I don't believe in. This is for you, Santiago. You can fill in the rest, Nick. Santiago Espinal, everybody.
Look, it's just good to see him being an average player. Like, I think that's what you expect out of him. That's what you're hoping to get out of him. He's fine. And he's playing great defense, too. Yes. That's the one thing. He had a first couple games were rough, but he's been a really good defender. And look, when he's playing in the game, you're hoping to get that upgrade defensively at second base. And he's doing a nice job there. That was a huge at bat. I mean, after that, just, man, one of the most, I don't want to be the negative guy for sure, but that at bat by Jamer Candelaria was one of the most disheartening at bats I can remember in a
horrible
long time.
At bat.
Just because Dominguez was all over the place. This wasn't like, I mean,
Martini too, right? Like that whole inning, he was all over the place. You felt like he shouldn't be getting a lot of outs. He did dot two fastball to Martini, but then Martini kind of like just hits a pop. He pops out, and then Jamir does what he does, and you're right, 100% right. It was deflating, if anything.
Yeah, so that was a big spot, and look, just good to see him contribute. Santiago Espinal, he was an all-star. It was a fake all-star. I can admit that as much as anyone else, but he's fine, and I think that he can provide a nice role for this team unless you somehow get Matt McClain and Noelvi Marte back, which the chances of getting them back and then having everyone else healthy is probably as close to zero as you can get. So yeah. The Reds need this guy to be a decent player, and I think that's what he's proving at least the last couple of days, that I think he can get to that level. And I hope he's able to keep it up, because there's a lot of guys struggling in this lineup. I mean, Ellie's playing great. Tyler Stevens is playing great. But there's not really that many other guys that are playing great. And it's weird to say on a night you score 7 runs. So you need these other little contributions, and it's good to see Santiago Espinal, and then that kind of, I guess, leads right into the next guy. Really good to see Will Benson have a good night.
Yeah, Will Benson was a guy that's obviously struggling, and this is one of those things where we keep doing this, Nick. We keep talking about, well, it's April 24th, right? And if these guys were to, you know, have a little bit of what you'd call a shuffle in the middle of the season, you might not, I don't want to say you wouldn't notice it, but it wouldn't be as big of a deal if you had a large sample size, right? But Will Benson struggled. He got off to a great start. He's been plummeting, and it is nice to see him. Hopefully he gets back on track, because we need it at some point. Like, we can't keep surviving and advancing off the fact that the starting pitching throws the ball relatively well and the bullpen performs miracles. And the bullpen, I keep going back to it. I know that's on the second half of the rundown. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's like, we need this offense to make sure that at some point they're carrying the load and they're the reason that this Reds team wins. And it feels like we said that a lot towards the back half of last year. And you kind of couple that into the front half of this year, or at least the, you know, whatever you want to call this, the first month or two. And, you know, I'm going to try to be patient with a lot of these guys. Will Benson has showed me enough, though, where I still believe in Will Benson regardless of, you know, a 1-for-15 or 1-for-20. Spencer Steer obviously struggling a little bit as well. So, you know, I don't know what you make of Will Benson, but it's nice to see him kind of get back on track.
Well, and Will Benson's also had to be in a role that he's really shouldn't be in. He's had to start against left-handed pitching.
Correct.
And I know you can look at his splits, and I think his splits are actually better against left-handed pitching. But that's I think a fluky start to the season.
Got a big hit tonight off a left-handed pitcher that if we're both being honest, right? Like, it was.
That's pretty, a good left-handed pitcher too.
Pretty
that's
fortunate not a though. Scrub. Pretty fortunate is what I'm saying. Like, you know, you catch a ball off the hands like that, more times than not, it's probably not going to perfectly fall in for a hit. But having said that, you know, you're right. I don't think it's fair to ask. It's the same thing as Stuart Fairchild though. I don't know if he's on the rundown either, but Stuart Fairchild much of the same. Like, I don't think Stuart Fairchild should be facing as many right-handed arms as he has lately, but he has to. There's not many options. I mean, we're going to go to Bubba Thompson. We're not doing that tonight, by the way. Speaking of which, I do need to get on Bubba Thompson, because I think that might fix him. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm just going to start getting on guys, and then they're going to magically become, you know, all-stars.
Scored a run tonight, baby. No, but that's a good point. Like, Will Benson's playing more than he should right now. He's having to play every day. And I know he kind of hasn't lately, but I think some of that's been sickness. I don't even know who's available on a night-to-night basis right now either. Martini's had to play way more against lefties than you'd ever want him to play. Santiago Espinal, he would not be starting tonight if Jonathan India would have been fully healthy against. So there's just so many. And Stuart Fairchild has planned to play a lot more against righties. So there's just a lot of guys that are playing more than they should, and that's the whole point of surviving and advancing until more guys get back. But this is what really hurts. It really hurts when you don't have Jake Fraley against the right-handed pitcher. That's the one guy that, man, it's brutal not to have him in the lineup. So I hope that he's able to get over his sickness or whatever's going on right now.
I want to say something that people are going to think I'm crazy for saying, but this hopefully shows that I say things that I see. I'm not picking on guys. I think Santiago Espinal, I know, you know, listen, I understand that India might be healthy enough to feel like he's ready to play. I'm letting Espinal cook until I realize he's out of gas here. I'm being honest. You can laugh all you want. I'm being honest. You can't. No. Listen, Nick. Listen. If you're gonna convince me, that you got to give it, just listen. It's all the water's gonna find its level. He's gonna come back to earth. Okay. The water's rushing in. It's starting to get a level. I'm not cutting it off. I got to let him play a little bit here now. Listen, I'm not saying he gets like a week's worth of time, but he's not going to get 4 hits, then 3 hits, and then he sits the bench. We're not doing that. He's staying in the lineup. I mean, I know you think I'm crazy. I was saying I don't know. I will say LeVon Soto, though. I don't know if you've seen, but he got 4 hits. He was 4-for-4 his first night in AAA. I hope you have that on Reds MILB, but I'm just saying, but point is, I am not sitting Espinal until he shows me that he's out of gas, okay? Which might be one game, but just saying.
Yeah, run him out there and get Zach Wheeler tomorrow.
I don't care. He's hot, man. Listen, this is what's that kid from Oakland that couldn't miss against Kentucky? Jack something? That's who he is right now.
Unbelievable. What a couple days, man. Couple days. Is
Fergie crazy, is Chad? Baby, I'm just saying. Is
Fergie babysitting the kids upstairs?
Is what?
Is Fergie babysitting the kids upstairs?
Oh, Espinal's kids are right upstairs. I took him in. I took him in to watch for tonight for free. Every time he gets a hit, it's another day for free childcare. Listen, I'm just saying, you can't take this guy out of the lineup right now. You can't. I'm not crazy, Nick. I'm not crazy, man. What are you gonna take him out? He's got like 7 hits in the last 2 days. That's almost as many as he had the first month and a half.
I would be fine if they sat him tomorrow. Oh. I mean, if India's good, that's a tough right-handed pitcher.
I don't care. India's coming back from. I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see. I'll support David Bell no matter what. You know why? Because David Bell's doing a hell of a job. I don't know if we want to get into that. I mean, just saying. You want to talk about Nick Lodolo? Let's do that first.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to say. I mean, like, he struggled with his command tonight. He battled through it. Good to see him get into the sixth inning when it was a real struggle for him tonight. It just didn't. I don't think he had the feel for all of his pitches. But Nick Lodolo, it's just like you watch him on a night like tonight, and you're just like, man, this guy. It almost is more impressive than when he has his great stuff that he's still able to like give you a chance to win on a night like tonight. I'm very impressed with Nick Lodolo overall. I've been impressed. It's just health. It's just every single time he starts, it's like, I feel like I just say the same thing. Please stay healthy. Like, I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the fact that the Reds won, they found a way to win a baseball game, and Lodolo, I don't want to say he was, you know, for lack of a better term, it wasn't prime Lodolo, but at the same time, you know, I used the phrase one of 162 earlier. That's kind of what I would say it is for Lodolo. Like, this isn't nothing to get overly concerned about. I also wouldn't make a big deal about the fact that he didn't throw the ball unbelievable either. So, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot to add on the Lodolo other than I'm excited. I am excited for this. That I do think when he has his B+A stuff, he legitimately is a top arm in Major League Baseball. So I love that. His ceiling is he the best pitcher on the team?
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any question about it right now.
Yeah,
I mean I still think Hunter Green has a higher like overall ceiling, but this year I don't think Hunter Green has any chance of being a better pitcher than Nick Lodolo.
All right, game time. For those that don't know, you can go to the Game Time app. You can download it. If you're looking for tickets, they have all types of tickets. All types of tickets. In fact, tonight, I was even looking at FC Cincinnati tickets. Never been down to TQL Stadium, Nick? Thinking about going. They play Saturday. Reds are on the road. Might go down there. We'll see. But you, what you can do is you can get on the Game Time app. You can use the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y. You get $20 off your first purchase. Two clicks, you can check out. You can have all-in pricing. They have lightning deals. You should give it a shot. You should give it a shot. If you don't have a ticketing service app on your phone, or you do have a ticketing service app on your phone, no problem. It takes 15 seconds. You can download the app. And then, honestly, you think I'm joking? It takes 10 seconds to put the code in to get it. And I think it expires in, like, what, maybe 60 days, somewhere in there? You got to use it within 60 days. But nonetheless, code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y. Get $20 off your first purchase.
Tomorrow, 63 degrees in Cincinnati. What a great day to go down to the ballpark, use the Game Time app. And as you were talking about, if you're more of the 82-degree kind of folk, FC Cincinnati, 82 degrees the high on Saturday. So perfect time to use the Game Time app. Go out and watch your favorite sporting event.
All right, so Jordan Earhart brings up a good point. He says, so we should be shooting for better than 13 and 17 then? Jordan, I'm not changing what I said. Okay, I'm not changing what I said. If the Reds, I'm being honest. If the Reds go 13 and 17 over the stretch of baseball, I will live with that. That means we somewhat survived in advance. We can recover from that. I just couldn't have a huge slide where you for all intents and purposes, you go, you know, heaven forbid, you go 10 and 20, something like that. I genuinely mean that. People think that's not a bit. Like, do I want to win more than 13 games? Yes. I even put out there on the, I had one bookmark. It was Reed. I guarantee it was Reed. Bookmarked it. I put out a post, Nick, that said if the Reds go better than 500 in the next 30 games, then the Reds are going to make the postseason. And I truly feel that way. If they can survive advance this schedule that they have right now with the lineup and the predicament that they're in right now, I feel great about this ball club. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, just every win until Memorial Day is like something you cherish. I mean, you pick any way you can get them. It doesn't matter how pretty, how ugly they are. Every win is great. I have no high expectations for this next month. I mean, this is really the survive in advance time of the year, and a great series. Splitting 2 out of 4 with Philly. Look, the Reds can win tomorrow.
Yeah. We're playing with house money, baby.
Yeah. And the Phillies, hopefully it's in their head. They give Zach Wheeler the kind of run support that the Reds give Hunter Green. So let's hope that keeps up.
This is like Nick Kirby being out at like 2:45 a.m. in Vegas with an extra $50 on his pocket. He's walking around a little different. He's feeling pretty good about himself. He might throw a little extra cash on the table, a little blackjack. I don't think I'm going to play. Next thing you know, he's feeling himself an hour and a half into the night, up $50. Just saying. That's what the Reds will be walking around if they're over 500 in the next 30 days. All right, let's get it into the bullpen, man. I tell you what, this is Tyler Stevenson's not on the rundown. And it's not that it's a mistake. I'm not saying it's a mistake, but I want to say this before I get into the bullpen. For someone that criticizes him and his defense, and I do, and I have, and I felt like it was rightful, and I thought it was just, I will also give credit where credit is due. Tyler Stevenson, I don't know if it's just the fact that he's able to read that splitter incredibly well with Fernando Cruz or whatever it is, but he has made time and time again humongous blocks for Fernando Cruz. And I mean massive blocks. Blocks that if he didn't make them, that Fernando Cruz, in my eyes, would be viewed differently by the public, by the fans, because he would give up runs or he would have pass balls that give up runs. And I know that might be an overreaction. Some people are like, oh, you're crazy. I genuinely believe that. I think that the two times that I can remember that Tyler Stevenson has made an incredible block, it has been with a guy at third base and a guy at second base, and it's been in a tight baseball game, and Fernando Cruz has spiked that split finger, and two times now he has made unbelievable blocks, made sure that the guy stayed put, allowed Fernando Cruz to, one, continue to throw that pitch with confidence, which we all know he needs to throw to be successful, and I can't overstate it enough that he has been incredible back there. And you know what? He's a huge X factor. As much as I talked about TJ Friedel being a huge X factor, if Tyler Stevenson can be even halfway decent behind the plate, average or slightly below average defensively, and he keeps putting barrels on baseball, I know he's not on the rundown, Nick, but I'm giving, I mean, if I had any flowers left to give, I'd give them all left, whatever I do have left, to Tyler Stevenson, genuinely, before we get to the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, hit two balls 104 miles per hour today. It's funny. Some nights we're like, man, we got to get five topics on this rundown.
Right. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? And then there's nights like tonight. It's like, what do we take out? You know, it's just how baseball works. But no, he's playing incredible. He's playing with a lot of confidence. I think that what you were talking about with Cruz, I think some of that is the preparation. Being ready, anticipating that those pitches could go in the dirt on his splitter, not just, you know, reacting to whatever happens. He's going out there with the mindset, hey, I know I've got to block these pitches. I know it's coming. Yeah, he's just been unbelievable to start this year. And man, it's really great to see. And you know, look, I don't know if it had anything to do with that. I kind of said going into the offseason, I hope that Tyler Stevenson having a full offseason would really do him well. Coming into last year, he was coming off that brutal shoulder surgery. He was just recovering all offseason. He wasn't really preparing for the season. And it certainly looks like to me like he put in the work this offseason. This looks like a guy that has been working his tail off to get better, and he's getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, and listen, Tyler Stevenson, I know if nothing else, he cares. And I guess the more and more perhaps you watch Major League Baseball, you can kind of get an idea of guys that, and I'm not trying to kill Rendon, but you know, it's like guys that serve maybe certainly look at the game differently than they used to. Tyler Stevenson, you could tell last year was pressing, even when he was struggling, and it just kind of snowballed on him, and unfortunately he didn't have a great season. This year, he's gotten off to an unbelievable start, and I'm thankful to have him.
Someone pointed out we forgot about his fake out. How about his?
Yeah, what about that? I mean, that was big time.
Faking out Trey Turner.
That was big time, but Trey Turner, what's he doing? I'm not trying to take anything away from Tyler Stevenson, but come on, man. Like, that's not, it wasn't, I mean, I love Tyler Stevenson. I just gave him his flowers, but Trey Turner, what is it? I love him. Trey Turner's an idiot. I hate to say that.
Can you believe that ended, like, his record streak of like 49, I think it was 49 straight stolen bases. Like,
that was it. That happened.
Yeah, he had like he hadn't been caught like 49 times in a row.
That's
like,
how you get caught.
It was the most since Ichiro, I think. I don't have the stat right in front of me, but yeah, that was wild. I guess the Reds are the only team that can run that play successfully.
Brutal. Hey, listen, I'm all for it. But I did think that the Phillies, if you're a Philly fan tonight, you're pretty upset because let's be honest. If this was the opposite way and the Reds lost 7-4 in the exact fashion the Phillies lost, you walk guys, you can't make plays, you're getting picked off on the base pass, you got Castellanos out here, which with all due respect, with Castellanos, I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy territory. We're entering crazy territory for Castellanos. So, just saying.
Yeah, you think it's bad for Candelario right now. But yeah, I know. And Thompson, man, I feel like every game we've watched, I'm like, what is this guy doing? Like, he had that spot where he had a Christian Pache up at the plate, which is a guy that's only a platoon player. Like, he has the most drastic splits. He is an atrocious hitter against right-handed pitching. And he didn't pitch it for him. I think there was runners on the corners maybe when Lucas Sims came up. Yeah. Sims got Pache out, but then Rojas hit a pitch out of the strike zone, got the run anyway, so he kind of got bailed out. But he ended up pinch hitting the next time with Brandon Marsh, who's a much, much better hitter against right-handed pitching. And like, I'm just like, they could have maybe blown the game open right there. So he's definitely left a lot to be desired.
Just stream of consciousness thoughts here, Nick. I can't go through this game and talk about the bullpen specifically. Obviously, I already talked about Cruz a little bit. Brent Suter. I don't want to jinx this guy, but it wasn't just the fact that he got guys out tonight, Nick. Like he looked like he dominated these dudes. Like they looked lost out there for all intents and purposes. That one poor guy, he was hitting like a buck 05. I don't know his name off the top of my head. The catcher. Anyways,
Stubbs.
Stubbs out here, he's screaming and yelling about basically him not coming set when he's not even, when there's no runners on. So maybe arguing that he's quick pitching him, whatever language you want to use, I don't care. Theoretically, it's illegal to quick pitch. But point being is that just get in the box, get ready to hit. You don't have to worry about it. But the fact is that he had him off. He had him all off balance. And also, lastly, give David Bell some credit. You know, he matched up. He knew what was coming up for the Phillies lineup. And Suter, I mean, he mowed them down. Has there been a better offseason signing by the Reds than Brent Suter? I mean, is there?
I mean, definitely not bang for your buck. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, Frankie Montas might give a run.
I don't know, man.
We'll see. Just like, how about this from Suter? So his last time out before today was when he came in and he threw 3 1/3 innings when he had to bail out Frankie Montas after he took that comebacker. Threw 3 1/3 scoreless innings to help the Reds win on Sunday. And then a couple days later, he's pitching the 8th inning, getting a hold. And maybe this has to be a 2-run lead for a hold.
Whatever. Yeah, you can say it.
He pitches. He's the setup man.
Right.
Like, his versatility is just, I don't know if I've seen a reliever kind of like the role that he has. It's really unique what he's kind of carved out. And David Bell's got to love this guy. He's got to be like, man, I can throw this guy wherever I want. He's getting the job done.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Dude's got grit. I mean, my thing with him is that my favorite thing about him, quite honestly, is just the way he goes about his business, too. He's not a pitcher that has many superstitions. He doesn't need to go back and grab the rosin bag after every pitch or something. It is like, this guy just catches the baseball, steps on the rubber, looks in, does a little waggle with his glove. Boom, he's firing the ball in. It's like, you don't need a pitch clock with him. Like, they didn't invent it because of Brent Suter, I can tell you that. So shout out to Brent, not scared of anybody so far. And but to be very clear, I want to make sure that everyone understands what I said before I get taken out of context. I said there's not been a better offseason signing so far than him. I'm not saying he's going to be their best offseason signing, okay? I am not out on Candy, so that's a good transition to that maybe now, unless you want to talk about Fernando, but we've talked about him a billion times. Shout out to Diaz. Seriously, Nick. Shout out to Diaz.
He's making it look easy. Who would have ever thought?
Gotta knock on some wood for that, man. I never thought in a million years it would look this easy with Diaz. I mean, even last year when he was nails for the first half, for what, 3/4 of the season, he still was making it. I mean, it was still like musical chairs at times out there. It was like duck, duck, goose, where it's just like it was. There was always motion on the bases at some point. It wasn't 1, 2, 3.
Well, even like during that 12-game win streak, like all of his saves, there was like 2 runners on or the bases were loaded and somebody right. just kept getting a ground ball double play. And it was wild. So, good to see him. He's pitching really, really well. And I thought he was a big regression candidate. And so far, that's looked pretty silly so far.
That it has. All right, let's jump into Candelario. He had a tough game tonight. Yes, I think if it was a losing edition of Chatterbox Reds, he would be taking a pretty good lick, if we're being honest. He booted a double play ball. Would I say it's routine? It's routine for the big leagues. And I'm not saying that, you know, guys aren't going to mistakes, but in a close game where you need to make all the plays to win close games more times than not, tonight he really didn't make that many winning plays. Now, he did get on base. He forced a walk. So I'm not saying that he had the world's worst game per se, but I still believe in Candy, man. I think it's one of those situations where the most beautiful thing about all this, Nick, is you look at this up and down this Reds lineup and you look at their OPS. It's nothing to write home about. It's not pretty. And the fact that they are in a position where they have a winning record based off of what they've done so far at the plate is very, very promising. And I am hopeful that Candelario at some point, whether it's next week, maybe it's next month, or maybe it's down the stretch, there's going to be a point in the season, Nick, where he does a Spencer Steer impression earlier this year, where he gets hot and he quote-unquote carries this club. I do think that's going to happen. I don't know when it'll be, but you know what? Candelario, no one's going to remember his struggles in April if this team's coming down the stretch in a pennant race and he's playing like Spencer Steer played the first 3 weeks of the season, which is very possible. So I'm not going to overreact about Candelario. He's played good defensively pretty much all year long. Yes, he didn't make the play tonight, but each their own. And the fact that the Reds won, that helps his case.
Yeah, I think his defense has actually been pretty impressive, you know, minus that one play. I think overall he's played really good defense. I feel like he's put in a lot of work to be a solid defensive third baseman. I am a little concerned about his, like, 3 years from now. I mean, if I'm being honest, I mean, it's not a ton of money, so I don't think it's necessarily going to drag the franchise down or anything. I think this year he'll be fine. I think he'll get his numbers up, but there's not a whole lot of positives. It's not like what Tyler Stevenson earlier in the year where he was hitting the cover off the ball and just, you know, stuff wasn't falling. It's not even necessarily like Santiago Espinal, where it's a guy that you expect he's a guy that puts the ball in play a ton, and he's just going to, you know, is his BABIP's going to go up. So I do think there might be a little bit of concern with him. I don't think this year I'm necessarily like hitting the panic button by any means. It just it all goes back to if Noelvi Marte was on the field and Matt McClain was healthy, it'd be whatever. It wouldn't even be a big deal at all. But now you're having to really kind of, it's just, there's so many guys that have to be put into the spots that are above what you should have expect out of them. Just thank God that Ellie De La Cruz, who had three hits today.
Unbelievable.
Did he have three hits? He doesn't even make the rundown anymore.
Ellie's
he's got a 313 average, OPS of 1,063. He doesn't even get on the rundown anymore. Yeah. It's great that he's just playing out of his mind, because the Reds have needed every single piece of that.
I tell you what, Ellie De La Cruz, man, I know he's going to struggle at some point again, right? And I think at that point, like, we all need to collectively, like, champion the fact that we, at this point, understand the impact that this kid can make. It's not just a fluke. Like, I do think the early season, and not struggles is the wrong term to use, but maybe he didn't get off to the start that we all would have hoped him to get off to. I do think that there are some people that could have a rational brain. I'm not talking about the negative fan. That's always negative no matter what. But I think that there could be some rational fan out there that would be like, you know what, I just don't know if Ellie's consistently going to be able to be there enough to where you're like, I can believe in him, blah, blah, blah. I hope, if nothing else, that that's been put to bed. The guy's so damn fast that he can produce runs just by, like, getting on, like, a walk, dude. I mean, he scored that run, and I'm not trying to cut down the rest of the team and act like, you know, they don't bring as much to the table, but they just don't. Like, Ellie legitimately got that insurance run on his own. Was it Espinal who drove him in? Who flew out? Who was the sacrifice flyby?
Steer.
Okay. And I know Espinal got a big sacrifice fly as well earlier in the game. So he's been playing much better defense. I'll tell you what, man, I'm starting to get excited again, put it that way. Like, I really am, because I think that we're starting to see what the basement of what this team looks like. Genuinely. Like, does anybody in the chat, do any of us actually think that the Reds have played their best baseball, what they're capable of playing? The answer is no. Like, they just haven't. And the truth is they still continue to find ways to win games. And I can tell you, last year at this time, we were watching a bad baseball team lose games night in and night out. And that's a fact. And we're just not there anymore. And you know what? Like, for all the OGs that were in this chat last year, we all know that the plan, if we're being completely honest, and I know people don't want us to move the goalposts, but the plan is that the kids that we're watching right now play, that are making huge impacts, this was supposed to be, honestly, their first season, Nick, that they were going to start to try to figure it out in the big leagues. Well, they came up last year and obviously started to figure it out. This year, they're making an impact. So I still am incredibly, incredibly excited about the future of this team, and I am very hopeful that we can stay healthy, get Noelvi back, get Matt McClain back, and I know McClain's a long way away, but TJ Friedl back. And you want to talk about cooking with gas, but Candelario is going to be back at some point, Nick. I really do believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, a year ago, Reds just finished up a 6-game losing streak. Just got swept in 4 games to the old Pittsburgh Pirates. It's been quite a difference a year makes, and I agree. I do think that the bullpen has performed as well as you could ever dream early in the year. So we need to acknowledge that that's probably going to level out a little bit.
Right.
I think the starting pitching probably about
average.
I mean, kind of what you'd expect.
I
think there's been some guys that have pitched really, really well that aren't going to pitch as well, but there's been other guys. Like, I think Hunter Green's going to pitch a lot better. I think Montas is even going to pitch a little bit better than his last couple times out. But the lineup, yeah, I mean, there's so much more upside there that hasn't even really even scratched the surface.
Right. I mean, Casey in the chat says CES is about to go on a tear. Write it down. I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah.
Like, when Steer cools off, Ellie De La Cruz gets hot. When Ellie De La Cruz cools off, hopefully we can get Candelario getting hot. The thing that's different right now that's happening than what happened the last time this team or this franchise had a what we would call a consistent winner was when? In 2012, that time frame. And that offense, if we're being completely honest, seemed like it could be feast or famine a lot of the time. Like, there was a lot of streaky players on that team. They could be the world's best offense, and in 1 month, baseball-wise, Jay Bruce would lead that charge. And then the next month, they wouldn't be as good, or they'd be one of the bottom teams in Major League Baseball. And again, I don't have stats to back me up on that. That's just my memory, which is, at this point, 12 years ago. Wow. That's really sad. Unbelievable. I just found that out in real time. Did math. I didn't like it. Anyways, point is that this team's got a good enough offense. At some point, they're going to get some more guys clicking. I really do believe that. Last question I have for you before we get into Reds MILB, Nick, is what do you do with Martini? And I'm not trying to kick him off the team, right? Like, I don't want to sound like I'm overreacting, but if Mike Ford, what do you do? That's all I'm saying. Like, what do you think that's even a thought right now in the front office?
No, I have to do a little bit more of a dive on Martini. He's had a lot of at-bats against left-handed pitchers, and he never should get an at-bat against a left-handed pitcher. And I'm not really blaming David Bell because he just hasn't had any options. So I think he gets a little bit more of a longer leash, but Mike Ford's played well. So, you know, Martini is the one guy on this roster that is the most replaceable in a cutthroat business because he has options. You're not going to lose him. You can send him down to AAA without hurting anything. And he doesn't provide you any defensive value. So his leash is maybe tightening a little bit, but I don't think I'm fully hitting the panic button and just making a move to make a move right now. But it's number one, I don't think you have to make a move to make a move right now. If the Reds have lost 4 or 5 in a row, maybe it's a little bit of a different conversation.
I think that's fair. But to finish out the point of whether I believe in that, I don't know. I mean, I see it both ways. I do think at some point you got to ask yourself, like, do you believe that what you thought on the front end is actually true? And if so, then you stick with it. Not to round out the show and say Santiago Espinal is probably a pretty good example of that, but I think that's a relatively decent example of that.
All right, let's get you caught up on all of the Reds minor league action. Start off with AAA, the Louisville Bats. They won 2-1 over Nashville. Bats win their second straight game to improve to 11-12 on the season. And it was a really good start from Lyon Richardson, a much-needed good start from him and really any of the Louisville Bats pitchers. They've some of the top guys like Lyon Richardson and Connor Phillips have really struggled with their command, but Richardson was very sharp on Wednesday. This was an early afternoon game. Richardson went 5 1/3, just gave up 1 hit, 1 run, walked 2 batters, and struck out 8. So a really good start from Lyon Richardson. Even more good news, Ian Jabeau returned to his rehab assignment. You might remember he was on a rehab assignment. Got shut down. He went back on his rehab assignment on Wednesday, and he threw a perfect inning with 2 strikeouts. His velocity looked a lot better, much closer to his normal numbers, so really good to see from Ian Jabeau. Tony Santion continued his great dominance down at AAA. He threw another scoreless inning, just walked 1 batter and struck out 2. Not a whole lot on the offensive side in this 2-1 game. Reese Hines was 1-for-4 with a double. Mike Ford was 0-for-3. Blake Dunn did not play in this one. He returned to the Bats lineup on Tuesday, assuming that he just got Wednesday off, just kind of slowly ramping him back up. All right, AA, Chattanooga, they lost 6-1 to Birmingham. The Lookouts fall to just 4-12 on the season. Pretty good start, though, from Sam Benschuster. Benschuster was a guy that was on the Reds' Arizona Farm League roster a couple years ago. Pitcher that's been a little up and down, but he pitched a really good start on Wednesday night. Went 5 innings, just gave up 2 runs, didn't walk a batter, and struck out 8. On the offensive side, Matt Nelson, the catching prospect, he had a nice day going 2-for-4. Austin Hendrick was 1-for-4, stole a bag. Tyler Callahan was 0-for-4, but he did steal 1 base. All right, down to high A, the Dayton Dragons lost 11-4 to Lansing. Dragons only got 3 hits and no extra base hits in this one. They fall to 7-10 on the season. The best night overall offensively was Sal Stewart. He was on base twice, 1-for-3 with a walk. Cam Collier was 0-for-3, did drive in a run. Hector Rodriguez, 1-for-4. Carlos Jorge, 1-for-5. And Leo Balcazar, 0-for-4 with an RBI. All right, down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas. They won 5-4 over St. Lucie in a thriller as the Tortugas scored 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth to walk off the St. Lucie Mets 5-4. The Tortugas improved to 9-8 on the season. They're the only team at 500 or above in the Reds minor league system. And it was a wild finish. So in the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth, Ricardo Cabrera came to the plate with 2 runners on base. Cabrera doubled, but the St. Lucie outfielder threw out the runner at the plate. So that was just going to be a tie game at 4-4. Cabrera, who was on second base, took off for third. The catcher threw to third, and the throw got behind him down the line, and Cabrera actually went all the way around to score for, I guess, sort of a little league home run. Pretty wild finish. The video was circulating around Twitter. Shout-out to Brandon Mintz, the Tortugas voice who joined us at the All-Star break last year to recap kind of their first half. Got his call going around the national MILB account. So that was cool to see. But even cooler to see maybe was Alfredo Duno. He had another good night, 2-for-3, hit his second home run with the Tortugas, and he also walked. Esmith Pineda was 1-for-3 with a walk, and he stole the bag. So a good night from him as well. Carlos Sanchez got the day off. And as mentioned, Ricardo Cabrera doubled. That was actually though his only hit of the game. He was 1-for-5. All right. Reds taking on the Phillies Thursday at 1:10 p.m. This will be a day game. Reds looking to take 3 of 4 from the Phillies. That would be very impressive, but they'll have to do so against Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler has a 2.30 ERA, but he's only 1-3 because the Phillies have just given him absolutely no run support. Wheeler was really sharp in his last start. Now, it did come against the White Sox, but he went 7 1/3, just gave up 1 hit, no runs, walked 2, and struck out 8. Back on April 3rd against the Reds, it was Wheeler's second start of the season. He went 6 innings, gave up 4 hits, gave up 3 runs, but only one of those runs was earned, walked just 1 batter, and struck out 10. And the numbers don't get any prettier for the Reds. He's got a 2.98 career ERA in 7 starts against the Reds. And he's got a 1.42 ERA in 3 starts in his career at Great American Ballpark. Reds overall active hitters against Wheeler, just 12-for-51. That's a .235 average. Candelario actually has the best numbers, 3-for-8 with 2 doubles. Ellie De La Cruz is 1-for-3 with a double. Will Benson, 1-for-4. Jake Fraley, not sure if he's going to be back in the lineup or not on Thursday, but it'd be a good thing he's 2-for-5. With a double. All right, the Reds will turn to Nick Martinez. This was originally supposed to be Graham Ashcraft pitching this game, but with Frankie Montas moving to the IL, Reds moved Nick Martinez up a day, or just, I guess, moved Ashcraft back a day would be the better way to say it. But Nick Martinez, you know the story. He's got an ERA of 7.20 in his 2 starts as a starter, but he was absolutely dominant, a 1.29 ERA as a reliever this year with the Reds. He did not face the Phillies earlier in the year. He didn't even pitch a start or relief in that series. He's never made a start in his big league career against the Phillies, but he has
pitched 10 and a third innings in relief, and he's only given up one run with a very impressive 13 strikeouts and just two walks. The active Phillies are just 5 for 51 against Martinez. That's a 118 average, a 363 OPS. Schwarber's done the most damage, 2 for 6 with a home run, but Nick Castellanos just 2 for 12 with 6 strikeouts. Trey Turner's 1 for 7. Alec Boehm's 0 for 6. JT Realmuto's 0 for 5. And Brandon Marsh is 0 for 4. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate everyone who continues to support our daily show and podcast. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. We have new episodes every single day, the morning after every single game, everywhere you get podcasts. If you could also leave us a quick 5-star review. I know I ask for this a lot. I know a lot of you really have, and I greatly appreciate that. But that really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, you want to support what we're doing, just leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast. But even more importantly than all of that, if you know a Reds fan, tell them about Chatterbox Reds. Word of mouth is the best way to spread the good news that we hopefully bring to you every day here on Chatterbox Reds. Of course, Chatterbox Sports over on YouTube. We have all kinds of other content. Of course, we do daily post-game shows after every Reds game. We go live in the ninth inning, but we also have Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, hosted by Trace Fowler. They'll be talking about this Reds game, I'm sure, but also a lot about the NFL draft on Thursday morning, so be sure to tune into that. We also have the Kenner and Kev show, 3 to 5 p.m. on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. That is a simulcast show from the radio show on 1410 Wing AM in Dayton, new show that we've added into our Chatterbox family, so be sure to check that out. Those guys do a great job covering sports in a very professional way. They're professional radio guys, so it's great to have them on board with us as well. We also always have a lot of other content, so be sure to check out Chatterbox Sports. As mentioned, yesterday we had the number 25 Miami Redhawks softball team playing on our YouTube channel, so be sure to check all of that out. Links to all of that stuff is in the episode notes below. Well, hope that you have a fantastic Thursday. Hopefully the Reds can pull off a series win, take 3 or 4 against the Phillies. We'll be here to talk about it tomorrow morning, and of course on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube after the game. Have a fantastic day, and go Reds!